This is the I Am a Mainframer podcast, brought to you by the Linux Foundation's Open Mainframe Project. Episodes explore the careers of mainframe professionals and offer insights into the industry and technology. Now your host, Senior Analyst and Vice President of Sales and Business Development at Futurum Research, Stephen Dickens.
My name's Stephen Dickens, and you're joining us here on the I'm a Mainframer podcast. Looking forward to this episode. I'm joined by Zuru Raidan from Rocket Software. Hey, Zuru, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just get the listeners and viewers here orientated. Tell us a little bit about what you do for Rocket Software.
Sure. I'm a software developer engineer in test, and I lead our automation team.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So the show is I'm a Mainframer. So tell us a little bit about your journey. You know, go back to the first time you got onto the platform, if you will. Tell us a little bit around kind of that first experience working with the mainframe. And we'll use that as a framework to kind of go forward from there.
Sure. My only experience in the mainframe has been at Rocket. So I was a software engineer before that, and I was looking for something new. And I got introduced to Rocket in the QA side. And they were looking to basically modernize, bring some automation into their testing. And so I came in with the team of a bunch of newbies, and we all try to push for that effort to modernize our testing platforms. And then that's kind of been our focus ever since. I'm lucky enough that Rocket has been making a push towards modern technology and using more open source things that are available to younger people, I would say like millennials and Gen Z generation, things that we learn in school that maybe our seniors might not have. And so I've taken a lot of time. It was about 4 years ago when I joined Rocket, and I've taken a lot of time to help everyone on the team get familiar with Git, get familiar with automation. And so that's kind of been my experience with the mainframe. Being in the QA side as well, I get to see what it's like to be a database engineer, basically. So I get to use the product that we code in, just like a customer would. And then I get to, you know, use my background and my perspective to be able to automate or modernize in any way that we can. So it's been kind of fun.
It sounds it. Where did you come from before Rocket? Where were you before you came to the IBM mainframe?
I was in a startup in the biomed field.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So completely sort of jump from one to the other. So what were you doing for them?
I was also doing QA and automation. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're just bringing really that experience from non-mainframe and bringing that to the mainframe. I'm always interested when people come to this platform, relatively new on the platform. What was your experience when you first sort of came to the 3270 screens and kind of, and I'm bringing it up because I kind of knew you would laugh, but
it's obviously very shocking. You know, especially I think in biomed you are using the latest technology, and I'm from Silicon Valley, so I've been like coding since I was in fifth grade, you know. So to me, I didn't know people still use the black and green screen. So when my boss now, who interviewed me, he kind of was explaining to me, you know, what we would be doing. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This isn't what really people are doing. And it's real. So that was fun for me to kind of be able to say I'm in the mainframe, you know, because you only hear about it in movies, and who knows what that actually is and what that actually means. And then when you get to use the product and get to be on the green screen almost every single day, you realize how like useful and how everyday it's used. And it's kind of like underneath all of this really cool stuff that we get to see, you know, in our phones and in our websites and stuff, you kind of like make that connection that actually these are all pointing to these data spaces and like table spaces, and we're just making changes constantly. And it was a fun learning curve for me.
So it sounds like a fun learning curve. What were the negatives first time on the platform? What were those kind of friction points or things where it was, oh, I've got to learn this, I've got to dig in, I've got to learn new skills? What were some of those kind of key learnings there?
Yeah, I think maybe just the, I don't want to say age discrepancy, but just the seniority discrepancy with the experience level for the people who were on my team who would essentially be training me. Their level was so far above mine that any kind of training, it just felt like maybe the first year or two, it just kind of felt like I really had to learn, like I had to overcome a lot more than I would if I was to go to like a software company that, you know, is using code that I understood from college, right?
Yeah.
So I think that discrepancy in seniority level, like when you know so much and you're doing this all the time, it's hard to train someone and have that fresh mind.
So that's the barrier. I've heard that before from other people, so that's not mm-hmm. surprising. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. So you're working on that QA team. Rocket's got a fantastic portfolio of software. They brief me on that on a regular basis. So what's the day to day? We get a lot of younger listeners that listen to this show. People who are college, I've had the pleasure of interviewing some college, a college kid or two on the show. A few months ago, we had a high schooler who's put a mainframe in his basement. There's a real profile who listened to the show. So I'm always interested in kind of what does today look like? What have you been doing today? What does a typical day in the life look like?
So it depends on the day. My role, I have kind of a two-part role where one, I'm doing work in the framework for our automation. And then the other part is where I'm actually testing the product that we use. So depending on our delivery schedule, if I have to test something that we're delivering on, then I will be doing functional testing inside the actual product itself. So that would involve, you know, DB2, SQL statements, running some changes inside the actual mainframe itself. And then I'll find ways to be able to automate that in our Python framework. So I'll be scripting some days. And then other days, like today, I will be heavily involved in adjusting the framework. So because our product, our framework has been a little newer, we just built it 3 years ago. So I was involved in helping, you know, build up the framework for that. And so now that I'm leading that team, we've made some enhancements to the framework itself. So I even have like my own epics and stories. If you're familiar with the agile process, then you're mm-hmm. working on those. And so it's kind of like my mini project, and I get to, like today I get to work in Jenkins and the Jenkins script on that. So kind of more aligned to like what I would have learned in college and what I've done in like the past in my previous jobs. So it really just depends on the day.
Fantastic. So, I mean, that's really interesting. I think not as different as maybe you would expect. Yes, the platform's changed, but the fundamental discipline of, you know, QA and code development, pretty similar to what you were doing previously that would have been, I'm assuming, on a cloud platform.
Right, exactly. Like CICD, you know, the continuous integration, the development, that's all translated in this product, in the mainframe. You can benefit so much from having those same, you know, processes that you would have in a, I don't want to say normal software company, but a typical software company. You would have that here as well. It all translates. And I think it took a couple of years for our team to get really into it. But I think now that we've really enjoyed being able to say we're fully agile and we're, you know, continuously delivering.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of rhetoric out there in the industry that sort of mainframes need to be modernized, and that modernization translates as you've got to re-platform and refactor to the cloud because new people can't come onto the platform. You can't train these people. You know, it's antiquated development processes. From our conversation today, I'm hearing almost exactly the opposite to that narrative. Is that how you would look at it?
Yeah, I think so. It definitely had to come with some perspective changes from mm-hmm. especially our more senior engineers. But I think once you start to put it into practice and then you start to realize, yes, people can be trained and actually enjoy doing it. And then having just that openness of that open mind of being able to accept newer ideas and being able to attend conferences that have to do with the mainframe. I went to 2 share conferences last year, which was really fun for me. I got to speak, which was really great. And then I got to see what other companies were doing in the modernization front. And as much as, you know, we hear, oh, we need to do it. And you get the pushback, being able to have that open mind and seeing what you actually can do and see how it's really translatable throughout any type of programming language. It's really fun.
So it's interesting. Probably you weren't working with COBOL previously. Mm-mm. I mean, have you had to sort of get into COBOL and PL1 and some of those maybe mainframe centric languages as part of your work?
Not for me. I maybe had to do update a Rex job and you know, our product.
Not have to learn JCL.
I do have to deal with JCLs a little bit. But again, just getting over that little learning curve, I think it's all translatable. It's just like debugging in any other sense. You know, you can look at a job, a JCL job, and think of it in that way, that you're just debugging some code. You know, it's just a different language.
Yeah, there's not the concepts are the same, maybe the mm-hmm. language is different, mm-hmm. but you can quickly get your head around it and bring that same sort of development mindset to it. I mean, that's as I say, that's not a narrative we hear that much in the market, but on some of these conversations where I have the opportunity to speak to people like yourself, I kind of pick that up. So it's reassuring to hear.
Yeah.
So I think as we talk about the platform, I always ask a couple of questions towards the end of these discussions, and I'm always interested in the answers. They always come back as sort of very different responses. So the first question is, you've got a fresh perspective on the mainframe. What do you see as the mainframe looking forward, going forward maybe 5 years? So you get to get a crystal ball and look, the mist's clear. What do you see as the mainframe in say, 5 years' time?
Well, hopefully it's still something that I can work in, because it's been really fun learning about it. Definitely more translation with the modernization that, you know, younger people are probably more familiar with. Personally, what I have seen, you know, in our product, using Zoe and being able to use things in DB2 that we can create and actually translate into an API, that has been kind of fun to wrap my head around, and mm-hmm. also see how it can bring even more possibilities to what we can do in the mainframe as well. Just having a better, having that API and having that UI just be a little bit more user-friendly, but also knowing the background of how it's built in DB2, in COBOL, in PLI, just seeing that a little bit more translatable throughout more products.
So the second question I always ask And again, really interested in your perspective. You're a little newer in your career, but you've obviously gained some hindsight and some experience. You get the opportunity to go back and speak to 22-year-old Zuri. She's leaving college. What advice would you give? What would it sort of the hindsight that you've gained, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Definitely be sure of yourself and don't afraid to speak up. Yeah, I think just coming from a woman's perspective, and I graduated like right after the first recession in 2008, so it was a little bit harder to look for jobs. And so I think just having that woman perspective of, needing to minimize yourself in order to allow people to see you, that's just never going to translate. It just doesn't work. It's kind of like an opposition in itself. So definitely, stay sure of yourself, but also be willing to learn more from, your seniors for sure.
Well, I mean, hopefully this has given you a platform. I'm really, really fascinated by that answer as a dad to four daughters, who are just about to, the oldest is sort of in college in her second year of college. I think that's some fantastic advice. I think always bring that authentic self and self-advocate. I think that's always really great advice just for anybody. Maybe through a female lens that I don't obviously have, but I think it's fascinating some of the comments there. Anything else you'd maybe think about that we've not talked about that I should ask you before we look to wrap up here?
I don't think so. I mean, we talked a little bit about the perspective of coming into a industry where there's a lot more seniors than there are like mid-level or beginners. And just I just hope more and more teams and more, senior mainframers will have the openness that I've seen in my own team. Just that open mind to, listen to new ideas and like learn new things at any age. I hope I as well am willing to learn things at any age.
Yeah, I think that's a great way for us to wrap here. I think being curious and looking to always sort of open yourself up to new ideas is a great way for us to start to think about wrapping up here. So we really appreciated the conversation. This has been fantastic. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So you've been listening to the I'm a Mainframer podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Dickens. Please, if you like what you've heard today, please click and subscribe. We're always looking for people to give us the thumbs up button on those various channels. And please share this with your network. We'll see you on the next episode. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to I Am a Mainframer. Liked what you heard? Subscribe to get every episode or watch us online at openmainframeproject.org. Until next time, this is the I Am a Mainframer podcast. Insights for today's mainframe professionals.